fat jokes. I want to work up on him here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, if that guy's coming around and you see like maybe some steam, do not check his radiator cap because it will blow off in your face.
Yeah, yeah.
That dude is going to be
Prince Fielder's radiator.
You
cap alone.
Are going to read the report, and you are going to look in the lineup, and underneath it's going to say, "Did not play overheated about 74 times." How many home games do they get? 80-ish.
No, it's 81. Less than that.
No, it's 162.
That's 162. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's way too many. 81 times next year. Well, that's not true. I guess it won't be until like July. But any game between like July and the end of the regular
any
season.
Any game between May and October. It's hot. My buddy's got season tickets down.
How many
first
home
baseline.
Games
it's
did you
so
play?
Hot.
I played all the April home games. What more do you want from me?
They're going to keep him in some kind of like glass case, and it's going to say break for a home run. And they're just going to come up and just – it's going to look like what's his name? Han Solo when he gets out of the rock that's, you know, the cryogenically frozen thing.
Hoth. He's taking it on Hoth. So you're saying like – they're going to put him inside a Tauntaun, except for this one's going to be like to keep him cold instead of warm him up.
Do you know like if you stop at the Morgan Maumelle exit and you go in the convenience store there and they got the beer cave, they're going to have a Prince Fielder cave that they just keep him in. And they're going to run him out there for seven pitches.
I think he should officially, legally change his name to Prince Big as a Fielder. I mean, honestly.
Extra Prince.
He is so big.
He's a good-sized lad. Man. He hits that ball hard and far.
He does. He's so good, and that's the thing. I'm worried about his health, that's all, especially playing that ballpark. Yeah. All right, Nate, speaking of a guy who's been pretty hefty in his day, not you, but Sean Andrews, mm-hmm. he's got himself in pretty good shape. Is he not one of the nicest guys ever, though?
Absolutely.
What a sweethearted soul for a guy that will mash your face on the football field.
Yeah, he told me, he said, when I get out on the field, I want to kill you and mash you into a bloody pulp, and when I'm off the field, you know, I'm a nice guy. That's the way it should be. Merlin Olsen was like that. You know, he's doing the rainbow flower commercials, you know, and all that. But on the field, he was tough. That's the way it should be. You know, you're out there, you do your job, kick some butt, and then get in the locker room and out in society and be a good guy. And that he is the epitome of that.
There's you get out on the field and you mash people, then you get back in the locker room and get ostracized, apparently, in his case.
Yeah.
So tell me about the story. I like the headline. Not always sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. You know, I talked to him, I set up the interview, and what I really wanted to talk to him about was the depression and how he got over that and how he's – I've talked to him several times since he's been in Little Rock. He seems very happy. So the story was just going to be I didn't really know what triggered the depression. I thought it could have been nothing. I thought it could have been his childhood. I didn't have any idea that he was that mistreated. So the story was not going to be much about football. It was going to be about how he's just recovered from depression. We're going to talk a little bit about depression with a clinical psychologist and talk about the endeavors he's pursuing, the comedy, barbecue, and things like that. But I sit down in his living room with him. He's got a very nice house in a very nice neighborhood in West Little Rock. And we start talking about Richie Incognito a little bit. And then the floodgates just open. And he started talking about McNabb and start talking about homosexual rumors, and I'm just sitting there. And sometimes, and I know you've had this as a reporter, you're just sitting there thinking, oh, my God.
And you're like, is my jaw dropped open?
Yeah, and you're like, okay, this is taking a right turn. So about 2 hours we talked, and I went back, dug into a little bit more, tried to get McNabb to respond. Of course, he's responding now, and he's vehemently denied it, which Sean said he would do, and a couple of teammates have supported him, which Sean said would happen. I don't have any reason not to believe him. When you look, and I said this to Freddie Coleman last night, when you look across the room and you see a guy 6'5", 300 pounds with tears in his eyes, that pain, it's unmistakable. I mean, if he's faking that, he's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
The pain, the heartache, it's real. And
this is in a period in his life where he's supposed to be celebrating, feeling the best he's ever
felt.
He's coming off a Pro Bowl season.
Has a son, a wife. Rich Moran, his agent, played 9 years for the Packers, played for Brett Favre. So it was great. He treated him so good. Don Majkowski treated him great. He said,
the magic man.
Yeah, the magic man. He said, when you don't want to go to camp, you're coming off one of the best years in your career, and you don't want to go to camp, you know something's wrong. And he locked himself in the Peabody down here, didn't want to come out. Andy Reid said, you've got to go get him, and if he has depression, you've got to go to a psychiatrist, get him examined, and then have him report to the doctors. Moran fought and fought with him to get to the doctor. He did. And then Andy Reid eventually wiped out all the $15,000 fines. It was 17 days worth. Plus, they were going to try to get his big signing bonus, like $11 million, taken back. So Moran is a great agent because he went ahead, got him diagnosed. And when once you've been diagnosed clinically depressed,
they can't touch it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened. And I think at the time, a lot of people, including McNabb, scoffed at that and said, hey, he's just a big old fat guy, didn't want to go to training camp and be in the heat.
Well, look, I can remember sitting here and talking about it and going, you know, he had that fishy thing with the whole, I got to get my nasal passages worked on before I go to the pros.
Right.
I can't play in the Independence Bowl.
Drinking out of the toilet bowl.
Yeah, and we're like, I don't know about this, man. Yeah. Come on now. Maybe he's just not. And we were thinking the same thing as fans. I mean, sure. We certainly rooted for the guy. He's a great story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think everybody questioned that. I didn't play with him. I wasn't around him all the time.
Yeah.
But there was no question the guy, from the very minute he stepped on campus, was a beast.
Absolutely. You know, and I think now it all makes sense, though. When you sit there and you talk to him about some of the stuff that was going on, and that was a terrible environment for him, and now it kind of makes sense. Okay, mm-hmm. Now I understand why you felt like you're in a dire circumstance. 4 years of that, I don't think anybody wants to deal with that. McNabb's going to deny it, and other guys, Garcia denies it, but I just can't help but think something was going on there. I don't know why he would make that up and why it would be now. I just think there's something there.
An interesting thing is, too, this is not a guy who is troubled with his quarterbacks or other players. He talked all about how great it was playing with Matt Jones.
Right.
He talked about how great it was ending his career with Eli Manning and what
sure.
a great, you know, great support guy he was in that
absolutely.
Locker room.
Absolutely, absolutely. The New York media really latched onto that. The Post picked that up. And
yeah, because they want to poke at Philadelphia.
Exactly. And he said that was the best 6 months of his life. Unfortunately, his back flared up again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big thing. He had a lot of injuries. So Rich Moran said, when you get hurt, you're a sitting target. 2 years he didn't play. So that gives McNabb and everybody else just a punching bag, really. Hey, we're out there busting our butt. You're sitting there in the training room. He was in California getting treatment and stuff with a physical therapist. So they were on him. And then Stacy came, and they signed him hurt, his brother. So he was the target. But – you know, I know he's his brother, and I know he'd be biased, but he saw what was going on there. He saw it with his own eyes. Sean told him, and then he saw it. And he said nobody came out and said, hey, you're gay or anything like that, but there were snickers, there was looks. He could tell. And he said, you know, I'm 6'8", and I'm a little bit tougher than Sean, and I punched somebody in the face. And he goes, I think they knew better than to really say too much with me around. And he said, like in Camden, he didn't get picked on. I think because he said, you know, when you're the shy guy, you don't say much. They kind of wonder about you.
Yeah.
Because I never gave them an opportunity to pick on me. Sean, a little more awkward, chubbier. He chased kids around, and they liked it. But consequently, it made for a pretty bad childhood for him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's an interesting story, and I know it's gotten a lot of national attention. Deadspin picked it up, and, of course,
yeah.
on Freddie Coleman on national.
Mm-hmm.
National broadcast last night, and you know, I hate it for him, but it sounds like right now he's really insulated himself to some degree. And I've been around him some. I guess he's on the board for the AAU deal.
Yep.
with Reggie Swinton. So
yep.
I've talked to him a little bit about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting here, but he's kind of insulated himself, hasn't he, with his family?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I said, who are your best friends? My mom or my wife? My mom, my two brothers. Those are my best friends, and they all live. His older brother is retired military and is going to come here. He's a half-brother. But everybody else lives within 2 miles of him in West Little Rock. He doesn't have a best friend from Camden. He doesn't really have a best friend for the Razorbacks. Jason Peters was, but they really don't keep him much contact. He doesn't have a great friend with the Eagles. So his best friends are his family and just his close family, not his extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And he surrounded himself with them. He stays to himself. He doesn't do a lot of public appearances, although he does say that he gives money away. He doesn't talk about it, but he does like charity.
I believe it.
And if you ask him, which I have asked, and some organizations I've been a part of have asked, and he's given. So I think that's by design. But I think now that he's kind of got this off his chest, he feels a little bit of inner peace. I think he'll start to get out a little bit more. And Rich Moran thinks that he will really become a spokesperson, a champion for the weight challenged. And also for the people that are battling mental illness and depression, I think he would be a perfect example for people that are going through that. I've already had somebody reach out to me and said, hey, I played football against him in high school. I'm battling depression. Could you get him in touch with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd like to talk to him. So I think that's definitely could be in his future.
Well, he's always been really a good guy. I mean, even when he was at Arkansas, I remember him having kind of a gregarious sort of fun-loving
sure.
personality. He was a good guy to be around. always very, very good to deal with as far as media.
Yeah, and he's got the demeanor. They call him the big kid. Yeah, and he's got a room devoted in his house when he was in Philadelphia to SpongeBob SquarePants. That's kind of what set him up for a little bit of ridicule.
Sure.
He's different. Is he gay? No. And he said there's nothing wrong with that, but it's wrong to assume somebody is something because of certain things, and I think that's what they did in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with it, but it does not play well in an
not
NFL
in the
locker
NFL.
Room.
No, and I talked to Tom Pagnozzi about that yesterday. He said that, you know, any kind of pro sports, they do not want a homosexual person in their dressing room because they dress with them, and there's a lot of people that don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's a great write-up, and it's in Sync Weekly this week. There's some other great stuff in there, too. And if you're looking for things to do this weekend, there's a great calendar in there as well. And
absolutely.
You will know that Matt Stell is playing at the Reverend this weekend. Did I mention that?
Saturday get night? On down there and watch him.
Come yeah, on, see should. Us.
Good music.
Should come out this weekend. We're going to give away some Razorback tickets. So we got to get your Saturday starter right with a Razorback win, hopefully. Later on, we'll give away some UCA tickets, too. It's senior day up in Conway, 3 o'clock. I'm going to double dip. Give me a little Razorback in the morning, a little bear football in the afternoon. So it's going to be a lot of fun this Saturday for me. Oh, and I'm going to wrap it up with you. I got the triplet, my friend.
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about that pizza at Razorback either. 10:50. Kevin, Nick, hang on. If you want to win some tickets, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. If you listened yesterday, you have a little bit of a leg up on this quiz.